Well, it's a Monday morning. A very good morning to you, Namibian. Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. And thanks for joining us this morning. It's a Monday morning, the 27th of October. They're only about 4 days. And we can say goodbye, October. So the year is almost coming to the end. So never blue for me. Monday never blue for me. And this is what I always tell you. If you want your Monday to be like my Monday, and actually this should be your practice for, if you want your week, you know, this is, if you want your week to be the best, the way you start your Monday is actually determined the whole week. You understand? It's the same thing. The way you start your day, if you just wake up and, you know, everything is right, everything is behind. When you are about just 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 30 minutes behind, you know, when you wake up, everything is behind. Everything and your day, it's going to be ruined. So make sure that you always start your Monday, you know, in the best way, because that's how your week will go. So make your Monday always green, not blue. All right. For some, green might be not good. All right. So it's a Monday morning and thanks for joining us. And my name is Michael Chauvelli. This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we come through the noise to make sense of the big stories, numbers, trends that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always, always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. And our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're coming to you live. The mic now has come to the great region, the great Oshana region. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. So it's now the big mic on the mic. So as usual, we start looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So on the 27th of October, on this day in Africa, what happened? So on the 27th of October in 1922, a referendum was held in Southern Rhodesia. Southern Rhodesia is now Zimbabwe. So in which now the white settler voters were asked whether the territory, now the Southern Rhodesia, should join the Union of South Africa or become a self-governing colony. Well, the result, about 59% voted for responsible governing, that self-rule, rather than actually union with South Africa. So the outcome meant that Southern Rhodesia remained separate from the Union and laid the foundation for its own colonial and later unilateral path, which is now, as we know, Zimbabwe. Now, Oliver Reginald Khaizana Tambo was born on 27 October 1917 in Bizana, then part of the Cape Province in South Africa. So he became a major anti-apartheid leader, serving as the president of the African National Congress from 1967 to 1991, and played a key role in mobilizing international support against apartheid. So his birth date is often commemorated in South Africa in relation to the struggle for freedom and social justice. So Oliver Tambo was born on 27 October 1917. So on October On the same day in 1967, Mauritius held its first general election, which was a crucial step towards full independence from Britain. So this election paved the way for Mauritius to gain full sovereignty on March 12, in 1968. So the election also marked the start of the island's economic transformation into one of Africa's most developed nation. So especially due to the diversification of industries like sugar, textiles, and actually tourism. So what also happened on October 27 in 1996, a peace agreement was signed in Liberia, formally ending years of civil war. Liberia's brutal civil war was one of the Africa's most devastating, and the peace agreement was seen as the turning point, so leading to a transitional government before full democratic election was were held. So this laid the foundation for future of stability and the recovery of Liberia. So that's, I think, what we have for you in this segment on this day in Africa. So what is our thought of the day? What is our thought of the day? He who fears fire cannot be a leader. He who fears fire cannot be a leader. So a leader is someone expected to face risk, take responsibilities, make decisions in difficult situations. So, and lead others through uncertainty. Now, therefore, if someone is too fearful to face danger or challenge, so in this case referred to as fear fire, they are unfit for leadership. So in short, leadership demands courage. An unwillingness to engage with risk implies inability to lead. So if we talk in terms of business or entrepreneurship, entrepreneurs who avoid risk, you know, may struggle to lead or grow. You know, and in politics and maybe governance, so leaders must sometimes make difficult decisions under pressure, confront crisis, and stand firm, as we see it in Tumbo Nandi Ndaitwa. And those unwilling to face the fire may falter or delegate leadership poorly. So, a leader who fears fire cannot be a leader. So, he who fears fire or she who fears fire cannot be a leader. So that's our thought for the day. And remember, wherever you find yourself, whatever you're doing, you are a leader in one sense or another. So if you fear fire, you can be one. So hopefully that helps you to be a leader, you know, in wherever you find yourself, in whatever circumstances you find yourself. So good day and welcome to Unpacking Day. And this is Eagle FM, your favorite 24-hour talk radio station. So what do you expect? What can you expect on our show this morning? Well, the troubling truth behind, we're going to look at what is the troubling truth behind Namibia's electricity supply. Well, that's making headline. That's our front page today in the Villager News e-newspaper. So that's what we're going to look at. And food insecurity in Namibia is expected to rise again. Ooh, so we're going to look at that as well. And if we have time, so we're also going to look at that. South Africa exit the FATF gray list. Then we look at what that means for Namibia. So, well, if we look at that, if we still have enough time, you know. And of course, your participation will also be part of the show. Make sure that you are part of this Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, we get into our first item. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, the I. And our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. And if we have time, we might also, you know, during while I'm here, we might also stream live the president when he probably would have a meeting with the staff of the Ministry of Trade. So, and I can't promise that will be the case, but if that's being streamed alive, when it's taking place, so we will be able to bring that to you as well. So just, you know, we will be able to do that as well. Just, you know, be in the loop as well. You don't want to miss that. All right. So good morning. Good morning to you. And this is Unpacking the Day with me, Michael Chiavelli. I'm your host. And today we're talking about really something that is very critical and a very critical issue: Namibia electricity supply, or rather the troubling truth behind it, actually. So we're talking about the troubling truth behind Namibia electricity supply. So you have probably noticed, you probably have noticed the rising electricity cost, or maybe you have been hit with power cuts like in some of our town that seem to drag on for hours. You know, I remember one of the Saturday or something like that, it went Saturday, Sunday, you know. So, but today we want to zooming in or zooming out. This is zooming out when you're making it so bigger. Yeah, it's zooming out. So we want to zoom out to see the bigger picture. And the reality that Namibia is still heavily, heavily, heavily dependent on imports for its electricity. So this is a headline in today's, this is a headline story in a front page story in our edition of The Villager, the e-newspaper. And it's by Ngino Menavali Hangala. So make sure that you subscribe for the Villager. What you do, quite simple, it's quite simple. You get this for free, all this information, you get it for free. So what do? You just subscribe. You send your name and your email at 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And you just say subscribe. So we're gonna come back after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
That's right. You stay in the best country in the world. This is the best country in the world. Yeah, and we got love it. We got love it, this country. All right. So, let's get into it and unpack this together. So, in August 2025, only 37% of electricity, 37% of electricity used, 37% of electricity used in Namibia was actually generated locally. 37%. The rest, a massive 63%, if my math is correct. Yeah, 37, 63. I always have to double check that, you know. So 63% came from imports. That's right, from outside. So while we have got some of our own generation from through hydro, solar, and even a bit of diesel, we are still actually reliant on neighboring countries for our half of our energy. Actually, over half of our energy. So, and that raises some serious questions. Why are we still so dependent? Those are questions that we worth considering further and further every day. What is the impact on our economy and daily lives? And what can be done really to change this? Is there anything that we can do, or we just hopelessly, you know, depend? There's nothing we can do, or we just hopelessly just depend on other country. There isn't anything that we can do. So in this segment, we will explore these issues and more. And so stay tuned as we unpack this pressing issue. Quickly, just coming back in a sec.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. So we're looking at why we are actually still dependent on our neighboring country for our energy supplies. That's what we're looking at. And 37% of electricity, only about 37% of electricity used in Namibia was actually in August 2025. So was actually produced or generated locally. And 63% came from import from our neighboring countries. Now, all right. So let's start with the, I love numbers. I always told you I love numbers. Let's start with the numbers. So in August, you know, 2025, so Namibia generating, as I said, just 37.4% of its electricity locally. That is 141,962 megawatt out of a total of 396 megawatt needed. That's what needed for the country's electricity needs. So the rest, well, you guess right, is imported. Now, when we talk about local generation, the major player is the Rakana Hydro Power Stations, which contributing 76% of that 37%. The 76% of that 37% come from Orakan Hydro Power Station. And after that, you have got independent power producers, the IPPs. So the IPPs is small. And then you have the solar power. But that's still not enough, actually. It's only about 37%. So in fact, solar power, despite all the hype and investment, solar power, besides all the hype and investment, contributes just 3.5. Just 3.5. That's right. Only a small fraction of our power is actually coming from one of the most abundant resources we have. Think about that. So one of the most abundant resources we have, and we're only producing 3.5 on that. The sun is one of the abundant resources what we have. And only 3.5 that we are contributed from that. So what is the problem? Eh? What is the problem? Why is that? Despite having the resources, hydro, solar, and even diesel, we can't generate more. We can't generate more. And why are we still importing from countries like South Africa, Zambia, and Zimbabwe? Well, you probably have an answer. So, now, the first thing to note is that Namibia is not alone in this, okay? So, we're not only alone in this. Countries like Botswana and Zambia also face similar challenges. Now, but let's be clear. Let's be absolutely clear about something. Namibia is highly, highly, highly vulnerable when we rely on imported electricity. So that's one thing that we should be very, 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 very clear. Now, for one, we are at the mercy of other countries' power generations. We are at the mercy of other countries' power generation. If South Africa faces issue with their energy grid, it affects us. If Zambia has drought, for example, you know, it impacts their hydroelectric supply, and that means we get less power. So we are highly, highly, you know, vulnerable, and we are on the mercy of other countries' power generation. Would you like to be in that position as a country? Now, that's not the only one thing. The other things, well, let's not forget about the cost. Namibia is paying a premium for electricity imports. Yeah? In August 2025, we got nearly 40% of our imports from South Africa. South Africa, you might recall, has been battling its own energy crisis with Eskom rolling blackouts. So, when they struggle, we say when South Africa sneezes, you know, when they catch a cold, we sneeze, you know. So if they are struggling, we feel it too. You don't want to be, as a country, you don't want to be in that position. And what is more, our import dependency means, you know, price volatility. Price instability. So if you have a sudden hike in electricity price from one of our suppliers, that will hit Namibia hard, really hard. And it is you, it's the consumers who bear the cost. It will be you and me who will bear the cost. And that, my friend, has a direct impact on Namibia's household and business. And that's why it is actually matter. Higher electricity prices, after all, don't just raise your electricity bill. They drive up the cost of doing business. And which trickles down now to the products and services you buy. So that's why this matters. So it drives up the cost of doing business. And when that goes up, well, the product and service that you get, it's also up. The price is also up. So, now, what is the solution? If you go into the article, there are solutions. Solutions are in the works. So, in fact, we are already seeing some movement towards improving local generation. But, one, it is slow. Second, it's an expensive process. Bear that in mind. Very slow, but it's also an expensive process. So there's the Omburu battery energy storage system, for instance, is one of Namibia's first major utility scale battery storage project. Omburu battery energy storage system. Now, if you have heard of it, you know that the goal is actually to store excess energy, and when there is a overproduction, so it's like, you know, you store excess energy when there is an overproduction and use that power later when demand is higher. So when there is an excess production, you store that, and then later when the demand is higher, you use that then. So that's what the project is all about. So the project will have a storage capacity of 51 megawatt and is expected to help now stabilize the grid. So especially when the renewable energy sources like solar and wind, you know, fluctuate. So, and the good is that this is all part of our bigger strategy to increase Namibia energy self-sufficiency. So there is something going on. So instead of importing power from outside, we can use the stored energy when we need it most. You know, when we need it most, then we have this stored energy now helping us to avoid the impact of price hikes and supply disruption if there may be, you know, things that are happening and then, you know, the supply has been disrupted. But here's the challenge. Or how would I say it? This is a caveat, or here's the challenge. So the project is actually still under development. And actually, it's only one piece of the puzzle. It's only one piece of the puzzles. So we need more renewable energy investment, more project like Omburu, and fast implementation. That's what we need. The question is, are we moving fast enough? Are we moving fast enough? That's actually the question. So depending where we are at this point in time and how dependent, reliant we are. So the other things that we need to look at is the political and economic side of this issue. Now, the government has made some bold promises to improve Namibia's energy situation. Now, they have been talking about making the country more energy independent, reducing reliance on the imports from the imports, and pushing for more renewable energy. But how much progress have we really, really made? If you're out there and you can, you know, I mean, we're here, we bring our people here as well and talk, but do you see any difference? I mean, in August, we're talking about August 2025. So we still actually get more, our energy supply come from outside than in the country, only 37%. So have we made really much progress? Well, that's for you to digest. That's absolutely for you to digest. And the key issue here is investment. Let's get to the market.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, welcome back. So, as I said, the key issue here is when I said, look, we have been pushing, as I said, the government has been pushing for more renewable energy. But the question was, how much progress have we really made? And I said, the key issue here is investment. So renewable energy projects are not actually cheap. they are not actually cheap. And building new solar plants, expanding hydro capacity, or even constructing, you know, the what we're talking about, the battery storage system, that requires significant financial resources. Those things are not cheap. So in a country like Namibia, where resources are limited, any resources is limited anyway, it's not just about building infrastructure. It's also about ensuring there is a sustainable investment strategy in place. So it's not just about infrastructure. And then the other thing is also, it's a whole question of policy. It's the whole question of policy as well. While the government had put forward various framework for renewable energy and energy independence, the pace of actually implementing has been painfully slow. Painfully slow. So there's no question that Namibia has a huge potential in solar and wind energy. But for many potential investors, the question is whether the policy environment is stable enough to make a long-term commitment. How many are making long-term commitment? So that's the question. Well, the other thing is also why should you care? You now, okay, why should you, the listener, care? Why we bother? Why, you know, Mr. Nino Menmavali bother actually bringing this information to you? Why would we bother, unpack issue like this? Well, here's the truth, my friend. Electricity is critically part of your daily life. So whether you are a business owner trying to keep your costs down or family struggling with our bills, the issue affects all of us. It does affect everyone. For business, the higher cost of electricity import is a major pain point. So if you have got a factory or a shop or any kind of operation that uses a lot of power, you are paying the price for imports. And as import rise, not rice that you eat, as imports increase, so do your operation costs. So your operation costs also increase. And that gets passed to, that get passed down to us, to consumers. Okay? That's why this is very important. So for household, it's about affordability. So an increase or rise in electricity price hits the poorest. It always hits those, you know, the poor. You know, $100, you know, it only give you about 30, if you are in some town it's 35, in some town it's 37 unit. And let's face it, in Namibia, many families are already struggling to make ends meet. High electricity bills only add to that burden. So, what do you think? What is your take? So, our telephone number, 08-333-66-091. You may come through and have your say. 08-333-66-091. So, what is your take on this issue? So, it's something that we probably have spoken quite a lot, and we will never end, you know, we will never stop talking about it. So, what is your take? 08-333-66-091. So, what is your reaction to that?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Well, welcome back, and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is Unpacking the Day, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. Our time is about 36 minutes past the hour of 8. And so we were just discussing, what is the way forward, baby, for Namibia. So what we take from the articles, and make sure that you subscribe to the villages, and the article is in today's, it's the front page headlines for the villager. So first, we need more local power generations. So both from renewable sources and through storage system like the Omburu battery energy storage. So I think this is the key to reducing our dependence on foreign imports, as we can see, and insulating, you know, ourselves from rising energy prices abroad. So, and we talked about policy and investment, that policy and investments must go hand in hand. We can't afford to sit on the good ideas. Namibia has the potential to lead in the renewable energy, but we need the right financial and policy infrastructure to turn that potential into reality. All right. Let's see who is knocking on my door. A very good morning to you. Welcome morning. To Unpacking the Day.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, Dr. Mike.
Yes, it's a Monday morning.
It's a Monday morning.
Yeah.
Topic morning, which is the cost of living, delivered by electricity.
Exactly.
And
bread and butter issue.
Actually, driven by energy.
Exactly.
We have got the sun for free. We are failing to do. But I think it's a planned activity. You know, people don't know. We have no plan.
Yeah.
Let us be honest. Look, last time, remember when I said that, you recall when I said, because we increase electricity, if we go back to the reasons they have given for their increase,
yeah,
it's the same reason year in, year out.
Mm.
Let's go get, you know, history doesn't lie. You know, sometimes when you tell people that incompetence, when you tell someone that you are incompetent, they fight. Yeah, I mean, I've got a PhD, I'm not incompetent, you are insulting me.
Mm.
Okay, if we insult people, let us be honest, what do we call current status quo in Namibia?
Yeah.
If it's not incompetence, sun is there. The sun is there. Other countries, our neighbors, have got electricity. We are buying from them.
Yeah.
The same unit, the amount you buy here, let's say you buy $100. If you go to Zimbabwe, you buy 100 Zim dollar, whatever, Zambian kwacha, Malawi kwacha. You get my point?
Yeah.
Botswana. But you realize, Pula, 100 Pula, you might get more than what you get in 100 Namibian dollars.
Mm.
Let's look at the quantity we are getting. Forget about the strongest oil currency, strong it is. We say 100 units. If you buy units for $100, how much kilowatts do you get?
Yeah.
Yes, that's where you should see how strong your currency is.
Exactly,
because the amount it gives you might say Zimbabwean dollar is useless, or it's not valuable than Namibian dollar. But if a Zimbabwean buys electricity in Zimbabwe for 100 Zim dollar, he will get maybe 150 maybe kilowatts.
Mm.
You buy $100 in Namibia, you get how much? 30 something, 40.
Yeah. $100 here is about 30 something.
So now you tell me which value, which money have got more value in terms of commodity if you attach it to a commodity.
So definitely that buying, the one that buys more. Mm.
Yes. So we should now understand how do we value our money. We should not be valuing our money with US dollar.
Yeah.
We should value our money according to our local currency and what we use our money for.
Yeah.
Yes. And for me, that would be the very best value if we attach the value for money. So in this case, if we say, if the people have been running non-power or electricity utilities, including ECB,
yeah.
If these people have never been incompetent, what is it they have done so far? Like Sankwasa said, in as much as you are claiming when you fired that council, what is it that you have done for the people?
Hmm.
Yes. This is a question we should ask. What is it that these people, apart from increasing, and the reasons, if we go back to the documentation they have been putting forward for their reasons of increase,
yeah.
I can guarantee you 99% of those reasons will be the same from 1990 to date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Now,
so what is it that they did not see? If that's not incompetent.
Hmm. One thing that always bother me, and probably I need to get someone who, not really about the hydrogen, the green hydrogen. I need someone who understands actually solar and all that, technically understands solar. The question is, the potential, we talk Namibia has the potential. And this, when we're talking about even green hydrogen, it didn't start. It's not something that I've started with Ntumbo. It has been a couple of years now.
Kudugas.
Yeah. And we have been talking about potential that to lead the renewable energy. And
do it potential.
Who is behind these renewable energy? Is it ourselves? Or is it someone else? It's foreign investors. And then this depend on foreigners for us really to be, if we see that energy supply as an issue in this country, I mean 37% that produced locally. If we see, why can't we actually then make kind of like expand this project in energy resource with energy resources? If it was that the case.
No, the point is, you see, I might be wrong, but I don't know if these people we call analysts.
Yeah.
You know? My take would be it's like we are a business case of some other people.
Yeah.
You know, you get what I mean? In their business plan, they have written Namibia as a consumer, as one of the customers. How do you say it? When you are doing a business plan, you know, your potential.
Yeah.
So we have always been on a potential. We are a business. We are consumers who consumes other people's products.
Yeah.
So the day we cease to consume their products, that's the day they will cease to exist.
Yeah, of course. And any business, that's how, when you stop, you stop consuming,
so
that, yeah.
How do you tell me that you have got people with qualifications, including me and you? We all have got qualifications.
Mm.
We have got people who have been in power. We have got our own economy, which would have strived on and use it to implement our own ideas and to save ourselves. Mm. Yeah. But then we go to the extent of saying...
Let's go to the market quickly and then we can come back. Yeah.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
All right, okay.
Mm. Yeah, I was saying, look, with all the qualifications we have, what is it that we are failing? We have got hands.
Yeah.
Our forefathers, our parents, even us who are currently living today, we are the people who were cultivating in the villages when there was not enough food for all of us. We produced in our small little backyard. We would have called it whatever, but it was our villages. We called it our other village, our fields. We produced there. Each and every family could have its own food. What brought us to where we are today to be reliable too much or be dependent to these things of handouts?
Yeah.
It was the government who designed that system of food for what? How do they call it? No. People were producing their own food. Then the government says, no, we are going to give drought relief for those things. Why do you give drought relief? Why can't you give people seeds to go and plant?
Yeah.
Why can't you make boreholes for people to irrigate their own food so they can produce their own food?
Yeah.
Don't you think that is a plan?
Mm.
It's a failure.
Yeah, a long plan for food security. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. We have been talking about food security. How many campaigns, even the ruling party, how many campaigns have they run on food security, on housing and what, unemployment? How do you create jobs if you don't have agriculture?
Yeah.
How?
And that's the biggest emphasis from the founding father as well, actually.
Yes. Secondly, how do you feed your own family depending on another person to feed you?
Yeah.
Employment, you are waiting for Pick n Pay to come and create employment from South Africa.
Nah.
It doesn't make sense. Now, look at it this way. When they realize that things are going to shift because of FEMA and other stuff and whatever is coming, look at all these planting shops today. What are they doing? They are changing the names.
Mm.
This is not the only country where things have happened this way. Go to Zimbabwe, go to any country, African country. When the capitalists realize that things are going to change this way, this is the route they take. Pick n Pay now, it's Model. They even changed their uniform. It's green.
Yeah.
It's great thing.
But it was Model before, isn't it? I think Pick n Pay
before,
was Model,
but before. Yes,
yeah.
But they are going back because why now? They know
the
way we used to do business in Namibia is going to change very soon.
Yeah.
And then a person who doesn't see, tell them to remove whatever they have in their eyes. And ears, they should start looking at the thing, what happens.
Mm.
When you see these capitalists start changing this strategy, they know
exactly
what's going to come next.
Yeah.
And we are sitting here, me and you, we might be debating about electricity. Sooner or later, you realize that even this green hydrogen people talks about, I always ask the question, who is the beneficiary?
Yeah.
Who?
Because the question is here, if renewable energy is now the way, you know, why can't we put in our own investment? Why, if this is really something the way to go?
How many empty spaces do we have in Namibia?
Yeah.
Especially Windhoek.
Mm.
Come here, Koriap. That's the run in between here where the power lines are running. Why can't we put up something there? Solar.
Yeah.
So we generate more.
Have an open field.
Immediately when we generate,
you know.
Because when we put it under the solar, the power grid, the moment we generate, we feed it in the grid.
Yeah.
Why can't we do that? Where are the brains are there. Somebody stops it. This flood problem sits with who? National Planning Commission. Policymakers. Because they are bought. They are taken to London to go see the streets of London. When they come back, they want to tell us how London looks like. You want to compare your economy with Singapore. Who told you that you are living in Singapore? You're living in Namibia, Chief. Look at what can you do in Namibia.
Yeah.
The soil which you have, it belongs to Namibia. Don't feed people with drought relief. Go drill boreholes.
Yeah.
Give people the seeds. Give people fertilizer. Allow people to produce their own food.
Mm.
And the longer
you have been doing this, the more you make people crippled. You make people dependent. And now we sit there waiting for the government. And later you kind of like, you are not doing anything.
I was in Katima last week.
Yeah.
I was telling someone, I said, I saw this, Zambia was celebrating Independence 24 October.
Yeah.
I said, what are you celebrating? The guy said, no, Independence. I said, no. Look at it in this way. There is no African country that have been independent. Every African country we got dependent.
Yeah.
Because independence was supposed to usher in self-sustainability and food security in all those things.
Yeah.
So that we're still even discussing African free trade.
Yeah.
We are discussing it. Which independence, when we want to implement it, the European says, no, we cannot do this because you are going to hit our economy.
Yeah.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Where do we get independence? You should be able to decide on your own what you want. Can Namibia today decide who they want to do business with?
Definitely not. Yeah.
They will be told what to do. And the policymakers will draft the policies that look like as if they were designing it. But then they were given documents, which they just came and changed names, where there was the Washington, you put on fear. Simple. So these are things we are dealing with, and we call it education.
Yeah.
But that's miseducation, because we are in the, if we want to do the right thing, let's go back to the roots. What did our parents during colonial time, what did our parents do? Would they produce their own food? Sanctions were there, but did we feel the sanctions by then? No.
Mm.
Why? Because we had food on our table. This is what Julius Nyerere also did in that time when he came up with the Harambe, not Harambe, with the Ujamaa.
Yeah. I always ask, have we gone in too deep that we can't come out anymore?
No, look, the countries we used to call frontline states, they had a plan because they knew they were given sanctions, so they had to come up with a plan.
Yeah.
That's why you saw these things of Harambe, all those things. They came because those countries which were supporting other liberation movements, other African countries to liberate themselves from the yoke of colonialism, they were targeted. So they had to come up with a plan. How do we survive? Feed the man first before you call the man to a meeting to go and fight.
Yeah.
But because if you take a man who is starving to fight, he will rebel against you. Not only that, poverty can be used against him to fight against his own ideology.
Yeah.
That's why they say poverty is a curse, because many times it can be used against you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so
and it can be used to control you as well, anyway.
That's why it's used, because it's controlling you.
Yeah.
They're controlling you. It's used against you.
Yeah.
Instead of your own progress, your own development, you become underdeveloped.
Yeah.
You see, thinking you are doing good. It's something I say, we are selling meat to Europe. You know that thing of what they brought us that we sell grade one to Europe. That thing is the thing that have brought our economy to go down.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, if we start selling our meat and we cut that red line, we can consume, what we consume is more than what the European consumes from us.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that a $10 we buy, it might look smaller now.
Yeah.
But if you look at it in a massive, you realize that $10 won't be $10 anymore. It will be more.
Yeah, but
and the economy will be moving fast.
Yeah.
Because you are growing your own economy. The money you are putting in, you are putting into circulation within yourselves.
Yeah, and it's not open to international, a global, shock or interruptions,
Yes, is it? Yeah. So that's what the founding fathers were doing in the olden days to manage a fight colonialism. Because they have to say, no, let's go back to the villages, let's plow, let's have our own food, let's feed ourselves first. Before you talk about the juries, before you talk about the coke, before you talk about whatever, coke was scarce, is it?
Yeah.
Because what do we do at the village? We drink mahewu, we drink oshkandela, we drink, oshkundu. Those things we use to make our own. The moment you think about, when you think about coke, no, you don't even have that thing because you don't even see it. You don't even think about it because you don't know it.
Yeah.
You drink what you have, what you have produced. You see?
Yeah, that's
That's how they manage.
The philosophy.
That's how, why independence, most of the African countries were liberated.
Mm.
Because if it was supposed to be whatever we are fighting liberation, we have to import food from Europe. The independence could not be happening because poverty would have been could be used against the people who were fighting.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, man. Let's see what others all have to say. Great, yeah?
So, but let's look at it. So, somebody's blocking us because they want to make money out of us. We are,
of course.
We are regarded as one of their business plan.
Of course, yeah.
We should break out from. You see. Yes.
All
thanks.
Right. Thanks, man. Yeah. We all need to be aware of the implication of our energy situation. So whether you are at home or running a small business, the energy crisis is something that touches all of us. So it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about building a resilient, sustainable future. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Tata Mike.
Good morning. How are you, man?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, my Monday is always the way you start your Monday is the way you end your whole week, you know?
Yeah, it seems like there are some, what they call it, the invisible hand that is responsible for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, the electricity.
Yeah.
I think 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, I had an opportunity to speak to one of the people who understand what is happening.
Yeah.
When it comes to generating our own electricity.
Yeah.
Because the question is, why can't we produce our own electricity?
Yeah, 3.5% from the renewable energy. You know?
Yeah. Well, is it we don't have investors or people with money who are willing to invest in that sectors and generate with, so that we will become self-sufficient?
Yeah.
And it seems like there are people with money, investors.
Yeah.
But currently, we only allow them to produce at least 30% of what we, I don't know, I did not get, is it 30% of what we import or what, or 30% of what NAMPOWER produce, supply to the nations?
They only allowed to produce how much?
Okay, they, you know, NAMPOWER have a total how, of how much is supplying to the nations.
Yeah.
Then of that total, the independent producer or private producer, they are only allowed to supply 30% of that to NAMPOWER.
Oh, they can't, the IPPS, the IPPS.
Yes, they cannot produce more than that.
Mm.
And then my question was, why? And then the explanation make a lot of sense. He's saying, when we currently we have a shortage of electricity.
Yeah.
Or we have been running, we have been for years, we had a shortage, and the NAMPOWER was forced to invest in a lot of money in infrastructure to bring the electricity from outside. Okay? They were forced to invest a lot of money to bring the electricity from outside.
From outside.
So now, if we open up the whole production in the country,
what happened to their infrastructure?
Yes. What happened with their infrastructure?
It's become redundant.
Yes. And so therefore they are saying, okay, they will continue to increase that percentage until when they are very sure that NAMPOWER at least have recouped or get their money that they have invested. But they cannot just open it up because NAMPOWER will be in trouble. Here they have invested a lot of millions, and then one will say, why did they invest? Because there was nothing they could do. That was the only option. And bringing electricity is not like buying potato or whatever.
Yeah.
You need infrastructure to bring electricity.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, so it's not like you need more potato. You just take send money, you send truck. No, you need infrastructure. So that is the argument they have, which makes sense. Which makes sense that, okay, yes, we might have investor who can invest in producing electricity.
Yeah.
But NAMPOWER will not allow it because it does not make
business sense for them for now.
For now.
Yeah. So they
and
want
if
to
NAM yes. If NAMPOWER collapse, then we'll be more in trouble than the way we are now. So that is the argument. Now the only question I have is okay. Now you know we have schools
yeah
in village.
So actually, what you're saying is that NAMPOWER is the one that actually limiting the amount of independent power producers, what they can produce from Namibia. And even when we talk about solar powers, that means they wouldn't actually allow them to go to a certain percentage, even if we were, if we were to have investors in the country.
Yeah, because remember, they need to, even solar power, they need to connect to NAMPOWER to supply
grid.
The grid.
Yeah.
And NAMPOWER will not allow them to supply more than what they have. Because that's the only way that makes business sense for them.
Okay.
Now,
that makes sense, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Now, we have, the only thing I was now suggesting to this gentleman, it's quite an interesting guy, is in there.
Yeah.
He say, okay, we have, look at what you have. Let us analyze the effectiveness and the profitabilities of the investment that government have embarked on in terms of electricity infrastructure, giving electricity to different regions.
Yeah. And also, one thing to understand is that when you talk about NAMPOWER, you're actually talking about government anyway.
Yes, it's government.
Yeah.
No, now look at what happened here. You have a school deep down in the bush, and that school has grade 1 up to grade 7 or up to grade whatever. They only operate during the day.
Hmm.
Okay, from 8 to 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
Meaning, if government put up electricity in that school,
yeah,
if you look at the usage of that electricity in that school, we are underutilizing that resources.
Hmm.
Okay. Hmm. Then the question is, why can't we think of, since some of those schools, to upgrade them to secondary school might be a 20 or a 30-year plan. In the meantime, why don't we supply solar energy to those particular schools?
Yeah.
With the hope that later when we come to the stage where we want to upgrade them, then we can now might be thinking of connecting them to
whoever supply. Yeah, whoever supplying. Supplying power.
Whoever is supplying power.
Yeah.
Because we now have this tendency to say, no, as long as it's government involved, we just want what we have given to the other school, not looking at, okay, the other school have a need. It's a secondary school. It needs electricity in the night and all those things. So maybe we should also start thinking of, since we don't have a route to upgrade that school, maybe we can give it electricity, solar, and then see how they can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my contribution.
Yeah. So, but then who will maintaining that solar infrastructure?
No, but the solar infrastructure, the maintenance part of it,
yeah,
it have a lifespan. Mm. And during that time, it have a minimum maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a minimum, during that lifespan, it has a minimum maintenance, and the government can also, what make it difficult for government to have a small budget to maintain that. You know, during that lifespan, I don't know if it's 10 or what, 15 years, it has a minimum maintenance of when it comes to solar.
Mm, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Great.
No, thanks for that input, ne?
Okay.
All right. Our 3336091. Our 3336091. We also would be waiting for probably live stream for the when the president actually meet the staff of the Ministry of Mines and Energy. So we will be bringing you that live when it happens. So just, you know, stick around to hear what is happening. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Room.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm doing fine. Electricity.
Yep.
Yeah, you see, the problem is planning.
Yeah.
Nothing else. You see, the electricity which we had before, let me say from before 1990 and 1990 to 95.
Yeah.
You see, towns expanded.
Hmm.
Projects were created. Yeah. Mining opened and so forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're supposed to put some laws in place. Maybe to say the mining sector should have their own way of electricity, like solar panels and whatever they could, can bring up.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Mm.
They could not also rely on the electricity which is utilized by the individuals or by, how can I say now, domestic.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you see, that we should have done first. Even some, how can I say now, some townships, like when you create, a location.
But mining, even the mine itself, it has the financial power actually to create its own, you know,
yes.
Energy from solar, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Mm. They're supposed just to put law in, law should have been put in place.
Yeah.
To say, should you open up a mine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because the way they consume electricity, you can't compare. Maybe let me say one mine is equal to maybe let me say the whole Mondesa, whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, you see? Now what you have to do is you put up some policies to say no. If you open a mine or whatever project, you must produce your own electricity.
Have your solar plant, you know?
And, solar plant or whatever.
And then that's supply the town you are, where you're making also, you know, where you're also extracting your minerals. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we are competing with them.
Mm.
And that is why the electricity is so costly.
Yeah.
Because number whoever supply electricity will not care, because those super customers of theirs can settle the bill like nothing.
Yeah. Mm.
You take it or you leave it. That's it. You see? The thing is, even if you put up a township or whatever, a suburb, first of all, they could have planned and said, this new suburb should consist of using solar panels.
Mm.
You bring up something which you can say that, okay, let us also try this. If it works, then you go on. You see, that now we are forced just to rely on one source of electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is not the case, because as you said, what if tomorrow those who are supplying to us, remember also their population is also, you see, growing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Tomorrow they will say that, no, we can't, because otherwise we will also be blacked out here.
Yeah, because their agreement normally take about 10 years or something like, or maybe it's longer agreement. So that's why, what if at the end of that they decided, no man, in our own country, we also cannot be able to do this anymore.
Yes, because that's what I'm saying. Our leaders just focus on investors. When the investors come, they can abandon the project and go back.
Yeah.
If let us see now, if we black out today, tomorrow there is no electricity, do you see these mines will pack and go?
They will pack and go.
Yes, but where will we go as citizens? Where? Mm. You see, at least if they could have been told that, no, use your own, utilize or generate your own electricity, at least then they leave that what we get. They said 7%, we can utilize it as citizens.
Yeah, but the big problem, when especially when you're looking at this, and those of us, when you analyze this, you kind of like, we are sleeping in terms of, you know, when we look at that, when you look 10 years from now, 11, 20 years from now, we might find ourselves really in a very, very terrible situation. You know, if first of all, if we ourselves are not actually investing into energy, you know, because you never know really with depending when you say you're 60%, 60 something percent is you depend on importing from your relying on your neighbors.
Yeah.
What anything could happen. You cannot dictate that.
Leaders change. You see, there will be another leader elected today who is not your friend. You see.
Yeah.
It might change anything.
An opposition party you used to, you know, to
fellow liberation struggle party.
Yeah.
You see, icon might, something might happen
might
in that
happen.
Country. There will be this young generation say, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to entertain that anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, what will you do? You see, right after independence, we heard about Kudu Gas.
Yeah.
What happened to it?
That's what I'm saying. You hear this all years. It's many years. Even the green hydrogen has been some years now. But
let us say Kudu Gas. How much was pumped in?
Mm.
You see now, for research and whatever. Let us see the amount of money.
Yeah.
If not billions, if not millions. You see? Let us look at what is this green hydrogen. How much was pumped in?
Yeah.
Let us just look at that amount, those figures. You will be shocked.
Yeah.
But what happened? Nothing. You see, sometimes let the leaders be serious. If you focus on something, just complete that dream first before you go. Then you know that you have done a good thing.
Mm.
But we are abandoning that and just focusing on something else, which doesn't make sense sometimes. Eh? But tomorrow we will see that, no, maybe once we get whatever, then we will start crying. And remember when you say that 37%,
yeah,
in this 37 unit which we'll get if you buy electricity for $100. You see already?
Mm. And much of yeah. 37, 76 is actually got from the old Orakana Hydro Power Station.
Imagine.
Yeah.
All and the, we have what the is independent, Pupa, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the independent power producers and the solar power, and even solar power,
yeah,
you know, it's only produced about 3.5.
That is the thing. Yeah.
You know, and you can't, no, like, no. What is going on?
Huh? You see, that's why, you see, sometimes we just focus on something which we cannot maintain.
Yeah.
That is why my brother, who was a previous scholar before me, I think.
Yeah.
He said, okay, we just want to be like Singapore and us also individuals.
Mm.
Remember that leaders are individuals like us.
Exactly, yeah.
You see, and if you have that, you see now, that behavior or that tendency of let me live like someone else, then even if you're elected to leadership, you will be the same person.
Yeah.
Sometimes let us go back to our roots and to our domestic life, how we used to be.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes consultation is very important as leaders. Consult with the traditional leaders, consult with some stakeholder like, let me say, the religious leaders, community leaders, hear from them.
Yeah.
You see, even Jesus, when he was here, he used to go to visit the ordinary people. And who are you to say that you rely on academia?
Even God himself, he used to consult.
Yes, he consulted with Abraham and so, but I think before the Europeans came, he used to consult our elders as well. That's how they survived.
Yeah.
You see? But now you cannot. You will see those as, let me say, conferences are put there. You will never see even an ordinary, oh, let me say, not even one of the traditional leaders in attendance.
As I said, I always said that I have been on some consultation, you know, you know, but when you go to those consultations, people come with their presentations. Let's say, for example, yes, they come and talk of green hydrogen or something. They come with their presentation, which the local people have no clue what they are talking about. You know,
I'm telling you, and those bundles and so on, and the English, and people will just nod heads and say yes, blushing heads.
Exactly.
They're in agreement, but they don't understand any single word.
Yeah, and they are only told about the benefits. They are not told any other challenge that would come later or anything, or their environmental impact or whatever, you know. So they said, yeah, if our children will get jobs, oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
they will just
ahead.
first thing we should say, this project will create 10,000 job opportunities. Then you will see the whole whatever, the whole conference, they are jumping and clapping hands.
Yeah, but the thing is that we hear potentially it will employ 10,000. It never an exact number to say it will actually, you know, employ this number.
They will say direct and indirect. Imagine.
Exactly. So, and we're thinking 10,000.
Yes.
And the next thing you hear, you know, the first phase only about 10 people or whatever, you know.
You see, sometimes those people came with, as you said, different proposals. Look, if they know there's a mine to be opened in Namibia, those car producers know already that they will sell those Toyotas. They will sell excavators.
Yeah.
They will sell. They know already that there is money for them there already.
Yeah.
To us, it's just employment. D'accord. There. Mm-hmm. You end up there.
Yeah.
You also, who is employed, for you to drive a car, you go to the bank, you see, buy a car. It's not yours. You see, those are just double slavery also. You see, or you have been pressurized.
And that's why
to the core.
That's why many people hang themselves, taking their own lives.
You might be exploited at work. You cannot resign, because once you resign, who will pay for that car?
Yeah.
Who will pay for the mortgage of the house? Mm. You see? Then you will just stuck yourself there, be stagnant, even if they say, let us go on strike, whatever. You will not be able to.
Yeah.
Because you are locked, or you are pushed in the corner where you cannot just even get off.
Exactly.
Those are the things, because sometimes when we have leaders, or leaders themselves, let them engage. Leadership consists of, let us say, also involved. They might have also something which you don't know.
Yeah.
They might have some solution somewhere, somehow, but ignoring them totally is not good at all. Just to go and address them how to deal with land. No.
Mm.
Tell them also, what do you think will be the solution? Tell them also in their vernacular language. We are running on 37% borrowed electricity or whatever. They might also come up with some ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
If
yeah.
not, yes. Sometimes consult until to the last person in the village. Let us understand when we talk about green hydrogen, what does it mean? Yeah. You see, later on that project, you pump millions. Later on, when you see that it's not working, some will resign because they made their millions. Resign, and some will just say no because of ABCD. I am not interested yeah. because they got what they want.
It's no longer viable, and because of what do you do? You know,
leaders rely on projects, yeah. most of them, because yeah. they know that they will come out with something.
Mm.
Those should not be business as usual.
Yeah,
tell them you must rehabilitate the mine after the closure. Put something there. You must generate your own electricity. You must do ABCD. There are people here who produce what.
Yeah, there was just a time I came up
from
with a number of mines that actually left without being rehabilitated, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, even if you say that, okay, that project, catering will be there, whatever, who will benefit?
Mm.
You see, it's your colonizers still, because they are the one where will you procure that food?
Mm.
You see, rice, cooking oil and so on. But people in the village, whatever, what we produce ourselves, we will never consume it, not even at the rally of a political party. Never.
Yeah.
You see, and that same political party will tell you that, no, they are there for the people. But what they consume, they will never ever think about buying even one spinach or potato, whatever, to say, okay, let us just try to see. People are eating that. What is the difference for them being at the rally or whatever, or Independence Day, not eating that?
Yeah.
Those are the things how you empower your people also. For them also to say that the fruit of independence is just like that. We can produce our own. We can sell it to our government. We can even consume it.
Yeah.
Hostels, they have been fed with this. What you end up, the children end up being hospitalized and so forth. You see, remember, if it was this domestic food, it could have been banned and those people could have been jailed.
Yeah. Mm.
You see, but because it's coming from those people, we see nothing with it. With food poisoning, maybe what is done. Let us try to focus on real issues, how we empower our people. Yeah. Thank you, my brother.
No, thanks for coming through and thanks for input, man.
Mm. Sharp.
All right. A very good morning to you. Our time is about 18 minutes past the hour of 9. And I was saying earlier, you know, I'm on solar power, you know. If we really know, we really believe there's potential in this, you know, despite all our hype and investment, it's only contributing about 3.5. Yeah? Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
How are you?
Good.
It's a Monday morning. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Monday. Yeah. It's a quite good one with your topic.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we are following or we are just talking.
Mm.
NAMPOWER invited the private to harvesting electricity and sell it to NAMPOWER.
Yeah.
And I think I met with two of those people.
Yeah.
What they were not wanted is just for you to produce it and start sell it to yourself.
Directly to the consumers.
Yeah, they were not wanted that day, but you have to sell it in bulk to NAMPOWER.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a make money thing. It's only that the solar project is a very expensive thing. And most of our millionaires and billionaires in Namibia, they didn't make money out of business. They make money out of tenders and government tenders. So they don't want to waste their money on something that takes years to get profit.
Mm.
Yeah, so those are the problem. Don't confuse yourself to say people, they don't want it to produce. They want, but there is no money in.
Yeah.
And this is an independent business. You have a free will to do it.
Yeah.
So it's only that, yeah, even if you look at in the Windu, what is that, the power brand for Windu? I don't know the name of it, but it's four.
Yeah.
So for them to keep it in up as a coal thing, coal is also very expensive to maintain. Yeah, even in South Africa, they said they cannot get rid of it quick.
Mm.
Yeah, it's in something else. And South Africa is not the one that, South Africa is buying from other countries and sell to us. So it's not that South Africa is producing more electricity than other.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's just that you get it from Mozambique and others and then you sell to us. And we sign up just with Zimbabwe or Zambia, not for the sake of that they have enough electricity. Even in Zimbabwe there is a black, that we call it a low shade thing.
Yeah, even Zambia have an issue.
Yeah. So it's
but
only
they are
that
selling to us as well. Yeah.
Yeah, mm. They are selling to us. Those are the things that we are a good buyer when it comes to things. And we're maintaining it in good way if you look at NAMPOWER, what it is doing. Yeah. And no matter those guys now, the middlemen that is Nored, Iro, Elongored and others, they are in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the type of
don't
things.
Don't you think, my issue, when I started, I was saying this, we become highly vulnerable when we rely on imported electricity. Don't you think this is, it's in some way it's very risky?
No, the whole market issue, supply chain is everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So what you need is just into reducing percentage of importing.
Yeah.
As I said, they were invited in private company to starting producing electricity with the solar panel,
yeah,
which is very expensive project to running on. Yeah. So those are the problems. You cannot say we might end up one day run out of it. This bulk thing, you can buy it even in Europe. You can buy it anywhere.
Mm.
They'll come install it in your. That's a challenge. It's a part of the game that some people, they don't understand it. It's a part of the game. You can sell anywhere. You can go to, if you look at in the solar panel in Morocco, it's something very different because it's producing during the night and day.
Yeah.
Their night, they set up, they have a torch that is can even heating than the sun.
Yeah, so, but that could also, you know, could also then increase the price of electricity, so which then drive up the cost of also doing business, which in turn trickle down to, you know, products and services that you buy.
Yes, thank you for that. But if you look at in the food processing,
yeah,
it's the same way food insecurity that we are always addressing here.
Mm.
But what we need is the processing company, manufacturing and processing companies into setting up their plant in Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all those producing, those veggies producing whatever to make it food available for everybody.
Mm.
So that is the same as we need electricity to be planted in Namibia or to be produced in Namibia.
Locally, yeah.
So those are the problems that we have with the investors. We don't have Namibians who are attracting to those type of projects because of the money issue. So, and remember, Namibia is always tracing money to investing in their Namibians, but at the end of the day, these people are just writing a beautiful plan or proposal, submitted and get money and venture in another different thing, as long as it's paying back the money. So those are the type of project that we cannot blame the government because of that. No.
So do you know anything about this Omburu battery energy storage system where you store excess energy when there is an overproduction and then you use that power later when the demand is higher?
Yes, it's the same as this generator that they've been running in Valveshbay for years and years.
Mm.
So it's the same with that Omburu and I know a project, I think in Umaheke or somewhere there.
Yeah.
They are the same now. Those are the ones that is now selling to NamPower because of the storage in NamPower there. Yeah. It's only that there are not a lot of projects. I think one is also in, you know, Gosomburu is in Omaruru, right?
Yeah, it's in that
side. Yeah, the other one is, there is another one in Roshpina area there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is also selling to NamPower. They're making money out of it, yes. We understand. Because NamPower have a storage, have a big storage of those electricity. As I said, they can buy anywhere they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just for the sake of keeping Namibia running with electricity. Yeah, but the other small projects that I saw, the hotels, even I saw it in Katutura Hospital, they do it for the geysers and what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about those one. How do they getting the license to producing themselves? Because Country Club is also doing it.
Mm.
But unfortunately, they are in need. It's too much. They have to rely also on the municipality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the type of things that we need to understand. It's not to say there is a monopoly of somewhere. No, you are lying. Unless I didn't follow the project very well.
Yeah.
NamPower here is just into keeping this project running because they cannot. Remember also the Ruakana Hydro, what? NamPower doesn't have money enough to extending that.
Mm.
That is because they are also relying on the revenue, which is Namibia is not yet reached $10 billion to do or to fulfilling his project. That is another problem which we have in this country. The government is not making money. Yeah, to running all those projects and become independent. NamPower can do that, yes, but the issue is that where is going to getting money?
Yeah.
If the Bank of Namibia end up having a lot of bonds that is selling each and every day.
Mm.
And I hear now, Mr. Khawahab, I want also to come up with different way of loaning because he want to pay out the debt that they are owing. And then it's starting with a new one.
Mm.
So that they can see that whether they can raise more money to funding those projects, which is investors are not interested on. Because as I said, the solar panel here is not something cheap as people are thinking. All over the world, the solar panels are not good enough. If you go to Chicago, you find there is a lot of solar plant in Chicago, but it doesn't producing enough to power even one location.
Yeah,
it's a very very expensive when it comes to those batteries.
Yeah, I think the problem comes when we hype, you know, when we hype this kind of potential or potentiality, if you like. And then you get people excited and all this. And we know that that requires actually a lot of investment. And that becomes a little bit of a problem because you give us hype. I mean, we become now, okay, this is what's going to happen. But we know that that requires a lot of investment and a policy environment that is actually, create that possibility. Yeah.
It's what I'm seeing some of those, issues which is addressing by the advising committee of presidents.
Yeah.
They think things are cheaper when they go presenting those things to president.
Yeah.
And the president just end up shaking head of saying, let us see if it can be materialized. But when after 3 or 4 months, you see the project is dead already.
Exactly.
Because there is no money.
Yeah.
Mm. That is what they don't understand. That's why I'm saying they need to start implementing those policies and regulations for them to making money and running those projects. People here are complaining the food are very expensive. Yes, the food are very expensive because it's not processing in Namibia.
Yeah.
Electricity is very expensive because it's not producing in Namibia. And where are those investors that you're talking about? Do you know anybody that can put in about $5 million in that project? Mm. Do you have one?
Because this is solar panel. They are not made here in Namibia.
Yeah.
You have to buy them. And you have to pay transport. You have to pay those imports. Which is a lot of money.
And sometimes actually import comes cheaper from local mm-hmm. productions.
You see now.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying we have to look at in the supply chain. Where are you going to get it in cheaper?
Mm.
So that is what now, what I learned from the rich people is that they don't waste money.
Yeah.
That is one thing I know from, I have been with the rich people. They don't taking chances of saying, this one we're putting money, we're making money in the long process. They say, no. I don't want my money to be there for two days.
Yeah.
If you are saying somebody who is needing today, yes, we order it today and tomorrow lending, we sell it.
Mm.
That's how they do business. That's why the rich people, if you look at where they are investing their money in New York Stock Exchange now, it's where you're learning that, these people, they follow what is making money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, So, Mike, that is all to say there is nothing, there is no monopoly to manpower here. No, you can do your own electricity. You can put in your house a solar to give your water. You can do to light your house. Manpower will not come and say you are violating what. No.
Yeah.
You can do it on your own.
Hmm.
So as long as you have that money, let us not sometimes creating this thing that is you never even do a research on. I'm really disappointed in for hearing people that maybe they are bought. No, even the independent, it was not like that.
Hmm.
We got it, we mess up with ourselves. That's our own problem.
Yeah.
It's not the world's problem of saying people are suffering because of that. And that is what we are killing business here.
Yeah.
The investors are coming and set up a nice mall. Tomorrow we're finding the mall is surrounded by those street vendors. How do that person who will make money and pay the revenue?
Mm.
So those are the problems that our project will not materialize because government is stealing for $5.8 million, billion US dollars.
Yeah.
That's small money for this project which we are talking about.
Yeah.
So, Mike.
All right, man.
You're welcome, my brother.
Mm. All right. Our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 9. So we still waiting if we will have a stream. When it's coming through, we'll be able to cross to Windhoek, for now. Let you come through. Yeah. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Wonderful.
Electricity.
Yeah, electricity.
Mm.
So, consumers are also not willing to take up the perhaps maybe the easier way. Maybe it's, I don't know whether it's cheaper or more convenient, but the solar installation panel.
Yeah.
There was a kind of a survey, and the report came in the media, print media, they were actually focusing on some towns, like some areas.
Yeah.
That one was produced by, I think, City of Windhoek. And they're talking about the willingness for people to have their home solar powered.
Yeah.
And there are very, very, very few people. So
is it not maybe because they are more expensive to do that? It's more expensive to install those things? So I think to install it could be expensive, but in the long run, it's much cheaper. Yeah, that could be the difference.
It could. Yeah. So if you have to have them, maybe those two solar big panels,
yeah,
you might have them for maybe 3,000, 4,000. So, and then for you to be paying every month to municipality, I'm sure it might be more than that. But the conveniences and things like that of cutting the electricity and things like that, like Andrea said about this independent power, independence producer.
Yeah.
So if there are the solar panel, the figure that you just mentioned, if it's that few, little, then what can't you then go and cluster the villagers, the villages who are not having electricity? I'm just now saying, like in the previous, you were talking about courage of leadership, courage, and you know, persistence of this in the previous. Those kind of spirit or characteristics that you were mentioning. Is it so difficult now if it's true that we can venture into those areas? Of course, there's no way you can raise that amount until you go to the financial market. But here now you can also coordinate yourself, your resources that you do not have, so to put your effort together. So the president of Zambia and Mozambique, they were signing the electricity agreement deals. And Zambia is saying, please thank God for you, Mozambique. You are now going to give us the electricity. And they were mentioning about the corridor. That is by being a very good, enticing and friendly investment area. They were all mentioning about those corridors. Those corridors that connect you people for everything that comes in. So now, if there are areas of opportunity and there are challenges, because that figure is very threatening and it's very for solar panel. So are we saying that we cannot go in there, organize ourselves and put our money together in mouth and then get and start supplying electricity? And like Andrea said, there's no barrier in that. Maybe it's the technical know-how and that you can do. So the other thing maybe I need to say here is that because those things are actually for us, if there are really policies or legal challenges that are really hindering us to get in there, maybe in terms of access, today we're talking about informal sector, and then we know informal sector, economic sector include also informal agricultural activities and many others. The building of the schools that need to be powers, solar powers, and all those infrastructures. So now, maybe those non-power stocks, the infrastructure or facility that they have invested, maybe they are talking about those big, big ones. But the small ones that come to us because of this green hydrogen, the ions, and we are hearing being produced. So we as entrepreneurs, are we becoming so timid or kind of cowardish? Because we're talking about courage, leader. If you cannot be courageous, you cannot be a leader. So how are we going to motivate ourselves and organize and take opportunity? Because most of the policy that are there, except where they need some kind of revision, you know, and then you appeal them, you reveal them and see whether they can respond. But the people are no longer going it alone. So people are going, like I said, to Zambia. And I didn't know that they were also struggling with electricity. Course, now they have to get it from Mozambique. And this Mozambique, you know, it's also a kind of, you know, it's not so good in terms of political instability. We still have those kind of incidents there. So if you can clean up our house...
Do you know that some countries that are supplying us, that are actually supplying us with electricity, it's worse in their country for, like, for blackouts and all that than in Namibia.
Yeah, in South Africa, when they were having this road shedding, and all this other thing, they were deliberately.
And all that,
They were distractors who were doing it deliberately. You have heard those commission of inquiries and what is happening there. Some of them, of course, they could have affected us because they knew these are also international standards that we need to work together. So you cannot just see, because most of this electricity, the rivers and all these other things, they are also shared. So you can't just come unilaterally, take a unilateral decision and say, of course, shedding is there. But in South Africa, it's a different case because there you see what is happening even currently now. What is happening there, it was distracted. Those distractors. The same apply here also. There are also some kind of hindrances that are put there, not necessarily by policies, but obviously those policy issues must be discussed. The dialogues have been going on. There's no policy that comes in here without being having a stakeholder consultation.
Yeah.
I fail to understand that one because I've been participating in those things. Maybe they are not really aligned to our needs, our concern. Maybe that's where you need to come in. So let's take up that challenge for solar panel in our villages here. So those who are from the VTC, some of those projects are already piloted in the logistics that Andreas is talking about.
Yeah.
So there's so much there, opportunity. Are we being courageous, being vicious, or maybe, I don't know.
Right.
To take up those, to turn those challenges that are there, those figures that are few there, let's now turn them into, to increase them into opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Good.
All right. Oh, wait, 3366091. We're talking about electricity and electricity supplies. And, well, the issue behind that. So, 0833-66091. You actually most welcome to come through and have your say. Our time is about 42 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah. All right. We actually exhausted the electricity issue. Maybe we can go to our second and see how far we can go with that. But you're most welcome to come through and, if you would like to add your point or your reaction or your contribution, you're most welcome. So the other issues we're looking at, it's a report, a latest report on integrated food security, integrated food security phase classification. Known as IPC, it's not the IPC, the political party. So the food security in the country. It's not a secret that life in Namibia can be tough for many, especially when it comes to making sure there is food on the table for too many. This is a very, is an everyday struggle. But what happened when things get worse? You know, what happened when things get worse? When food becomes more expensive, when jobs are hard to find, when the relief programs where we have relied on, stopped. So, unfortunately, that's actually, this is the situation Namibia is finding himself right now. So, and the recent report has raised a serious concern. The food security in Namibia is expected to rise again, you know, and over 600,000 people could be at risk of hunger in the coming months. So, and that's nearly 20% of the population. So, yeah, the report highlights, the report highlights the challenge we have, we are about to face as we move now into the lean season, you know, a time when food stock run low, when family began relying on the market, where prices are already, you know, are already increasing or rising. So then what does this mean for Namibia like you, you know, and me, the ordinary, you know? That's what we want to look at. And so immediately after this,
–
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, that's where you are at on Eagle FM. And thanks for tuning in and thanks for being with us. So we now looking at the report, the state of food insecurity in Namibia, and according to the latest integrated food security phase classification, the IPC report, Namibia food insecurity situation is looking bleak. It's looking bleak. Over 600,000 people are projected to be facing crisis level, the crisis level food security between October 2025 and March 2026. So that's a serious jump, and it is all due to combination of things. So So now, the things that the combination of thing is like rain. While we did have some good rainfall and decent agricultural production last year, with crops yields rising by 75% and rangeland condition improving. So the country is still actually incredibly vulnerable to shocks. Why? Because we depend on external factors, like the weather, global food prices, as we were talking about it, with most of our food are imported. So, and let's not forget the state of our own local economy, where we are at this point in time. So, and even David was talking about that. So, yeah, so despite the good rain, Namibia's strategic food reserves, are only about 15% full. 15% full, you know. And what does that mean? It in short, it means we don't have enough stockpile food to cushion us if things go south, you know. If things go south, we don't have enough food actually to cushion us. And when it comes to food security, things can go south fast. Yeah? It can go south fast. You know, we may just hoping that it's going to rain and boom, 2, 3, 4 months from now on, nothing comes through. So, let's talk about the economic realities as well that are contributing to the food security crisis. Right now, Namibia's unemployment rate is 36.9%. Yeah? That's If you put it in a simple term, that's one out of every three adults unable to find a job. One out of three, you know, able adults unable to find a job. And at the people who are, and the people who are, the people who are employed, and also they are not also necessarily doing much better. They are also not doing much better. So, and with higher inflation, with also higher inflation, especially in food prices, many households are struggling just to buy basic staples, you know? So, and for instance, food inflation was recorded at 6.4% in June 2025, with prices of grains or meat or cooking oil all going up. So, now, let's see who is actually knocking on the door.
Very good morning.
Oh, Mike.
Yes.
So you are repeating the other person's, maybe it's a recording.
A recording?
Immediately after I finish.
Yeah.
So the Andre came back again with the same topic, but it's not that he was there live, but
he was talking.
Yes.
On still, when I'm talking, he was also talking. What?
No, you just had the whole conversation that we had, because he spoke before me most.
Yeah.
That's why I was talking. So immediately when I finish,
yeah,
you just got into his recording.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought I was the one on air.
No. It was just the recording. So anyway, fine. So maybe it was just
okay.
The typing. I don't know what the other is, recording kind of a thing.
Okay,
thank you very much.
No, thanks for that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So people didn't hear what I said now? Colleagues, tell me whether people didn't hear what I said. Did you hear it? I'm talking about, you know, food security. Didn't that come through? Just let me know if that's not the case, all right? Yeah, so I've been talking about for most 10 to 15 minutes now, talking about food security, and that didn't happen? All right, colleagues, did you hear me? Was I talking or not? All right. I don't want to start from the beginning again. Colleagues, all right.
Good morning.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
We don't see any recording.
Oh, you heard me when I was talking about food security now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we heard everything, like even the food when we're talking about this. Our silo is only what?
Yeah, 15% or something.
Yeah, 15% or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, now I was wondering, you know.
No, this is a good thing at all. Okay. Yeah, maybe just where reception way is.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to contribute when it comes to electricity.
Yeah.
You see, Mike, I think the crisis is that in our government, there are people who are trying to submit the new project which are coming.
Yeah.
If you remember the issue of Ongos in Windhoek, we have Ongos in any location.
Yeah.
Ongos, they come up with what they say, no, we want to produce our own electricity. Guess who stopped them? Snapper. They said, no, you cannot. But I don't know why. And it is also safe to do something with it, to do with in municipality, Windhoek municipality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, really, but seriously, if you are talking about people coming up with a new idea of to produce electricity, but you are stopping them, what is your intent to do then? If you are getting 63% from outside.
Yeah. So maybe the other caller who was talking about, you know, that they invested infrastructure in actually, you know, in terms of electricity that is actually coming from outside. And maybe that makes sense. Maybe that's the truth. Yeah.
I know it does make sense, but sometimes, for how long are we going to to stay on that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because remember, anything can happen, like in South Africa. I'm telling you, once some condolences and the others take over, it will be end of Namibia.
The MK.
Once MK take over, mm-hmm. it will be end of Namibia. I'm telling you. Once we are depending of from our fridge to clothing, everything, even electricity from South Africa. So yeah. The problem I see here is that we have a leader, we are not serious.
The other thing is not only that. It's just electricity is so expensive.
Exactly, really.
No matter, even if you're talking about electrifying the rural area, how do you actually electrify, but people may not afford it.
Afford it, exactly.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. Just imagine 100, you are getting 36 units.
And it's, next year it's going to be different.
Exactly,
it's not gonna change that it's gonna go down. There's no an indication that it's gonna go down, you know,
not
soon. So, that's still, even if we, you know, if nothing happened and we still actually have this agreement with other countries, so it's gonna be extremely expensive because if the prices goes up in those countries, it's still gonna affecting us. There's no way that's gonna, you know, change.
Listen, Michael, the problem here of our country is that where if you are producing electricity from solar energy, 3.5%.
Yeah.
What does it tell you? In Namibia, we have a sunlight where you cannot even costing you nothing. Why we are not going to invest in that solar energy, wind power? We even the biomass.
As I said, look, sometimes we hype things that people don't understand. Even when you go to the president, and the other caller actually mentioned that, when you go to the president, people think that these things are cheap, you know?
Yeah.
And we hype them, and then we realize, and to actually then implement this, it doesn't necessarily depend on us. Now we're depending on investors. So, and if the investors are not coming in, so things come to a standstill.
Yeah. Mike, we don't need to go for investor to invest in us. It's ourselves we need to. Either we go for loan and they start investing in ourselves.
Yeah, but you also have to look where you are at this point in time, economically.
No, Mike, it's our time now for us to start doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Like even solar panel, we're supposed to do it ourselves, producing in Namibia.
Yeah.
Look, we're having advantage of lithium. And the lithium is the one which is installed in the battery.
Yeah.
And now we have a sun. And we install with the solar energy where the battery able to be produced in Namibia. We have a couple of people who can do that in Namibia.
Yeah.
Why should we look for investor outside? Look here, we have a Russian proposing to us that they need to install a nuclear power so we can start what they need just for us to give them mine.
Yeah.
From the mine, they are able to give us to have a nuclear power station.
Mm. Yeah.
So we can even start selling outside.
Yeah.
Guess what? MF Bank.
MIF, yeah.
They approached NamPower to give them
IMF,
a loan.
Yeah, IMF.
Yeah, IMF. They gave a loan to NamPower.
Mm.
This thing which I'm talking about, it was all on the news. And then in the newspaper.
Mm.
NamPower, they go there instead of, up to now, our leader, they are quiet about nuclear. Nobody even respond to the proposal of Russia. You see? And NamPower, they went to get a loan. What are they doing with that loan?
And nuclear power is very expensive, my friend. It's a billion.
But Russia, it was a cost of Russia. Yeah. Not from Namibia.
No, but it's still from Namibia because if you say we create a power plant.
We give them a mine.
And
we give them a mine.
And we give our mine.
They do it for us.
Yeah. And we give a mine. Maybe now you're looking at a cost and balance and a kind of like a cost and kind of like, okay. Is it better to have, you know, doing the power plant and
yeah.
or should we keep our own mine? And if you come No, we keep our own mind. Maybe we.
Why should we keep our own mind if the Chinese are here?
This time,
shipping out the nuclear without us getting a zero. We're getting 0% in that losing mind.
Yeah.
Does it help?
Yeah, there were mistakes made. Now we say we're saying we want 51% in the new mineral.
Anyway, sorry because I come late anyway. I don't want to have to go to the But very sir, it's just of our willing.
Yeah, there's a lot that we need to do. No, thanks, man. Thanks for coming through,
Okay, bye.
Great.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And that was Unpacking the Day today. And very good contribution that actually came through this morning, especially on energy supply. So thanks for participating, those who took part. Definitely that's what this is all about. Keep listening because the we may still bring you, the live stream of the president. But I'm crossing over now to Windhoek, to Tate France, during his show. Maybe that will come through as well. But keep listening, and I'm going to leave you in a very capable hand of Mr. France. And I'm crossing to Windhoek. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on your favorite talk radio station. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, have a very good day and a good week. All right.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahita tuimwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?